Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. We are live today. It is Tuesday, April 9th. It's time for the Power Hour. We've got, let me check and make sure I've got the team correct today. We've got some changes. We have got Bruce and Leroy and Eric. Pete is off today. And I believe Bruce is bringing a guest in as well. We've also got some testing going on today. And I know when we test stuff, things break and it doesn't always work the way we want it to. But we are getting closer to finalizing the whole system. So there are multiple streaming platforms for the video streaming. We are kind of testing our third right now before we make a decision. I'm hoping this one goes well today because I like this one. It's easy to work with. It's clean. It's got some nice features that I like. So far, it looks like my audio's going everywhere it's supposed to be going. We will see what happens when we start bringing in guests. That could get interesting. Aaron is working with Bruce, trying to get him on the video stream. That may or may not happen. All right. I think what we should do is we should get Leroy and I believe it's going to be Leroy and Eric on this line. Let's bring those guys in and see what we've got there. Leroy?
How's it going?
Oh, you can hear me and I can hear you. That's a good thing.
That's always a good start.
That's always a good start. I'm going to be an audio engineer before this is over, one way or another.
By the time you get it figured out, you'll be done with it.
My methods are a little odd. It's just, you know, plug something in. Can you hear me now? No, let me try this one. Plug it in there. Can you hear me now? Most of the time, I get us on the air. So once we get this all figured out, our app is almost done for the audio. We're going to decide on a video platform. Then we are rebuilding the studio from the ground up, all set up for video and no messing around. And it's going to be a permanent setup here in the studio. Then I'm going to build a completely separate setup for when I go mobile. It's always a problem when I start tearing stuff apart to travel.
Yeah. I mean, we have the same issues, not with audio equipment, but just with the stuff in the lab. If we tear it down and move it from point A to point B, like even stuff going to mats, it works in the lab and then we take the mats and it works.
You know, and when you first set this stuff up or you get a new piece of equipment, you sit down, you learn it, you get it all set up. And then the next thing I know, 6 or 7 months has gone by and I haven't touched that. And I look at it and I go, I have no idea how I set that up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things like the soundboard we have. We're practically superstitious. Like we turn the power switch on and we turn it off and that's all we ever do. We don't touch anything else. I don't want to break it. It works the way it is.
We are working towards, that's the other thing. Once we rebuild everything here and we have it working the way we want, we think the easiest way for people to connect is going to be through their own device. And we have a way to connect like a broadcast headset right to a laptop. Now for one person, so each person would have to have an iPad or a laptop or whatever they were going to work on. But rather than mess around with mixing boards and all the complication and when things go wrong, that's been our goal, is to try to just get everybody where they can join from their own device, which would also include the video because just about everything has a camera on it now.
Yeah, as a side note, I've actually been enjoying your video feeds. I watched Friday's show and I watched yesterday's show too. I've for some reason it's the same content, but for whatever reason having the video on the stream just makes the difference.
So I was the one that fought this for a long time because when it started to become the trend, even like, you know, morning radio shows, those guys started, you know, streaming their video. And to me, I had that same thought. Why do I need to see them? They're just sitting there. It doesn't really add anything that I'm aware of. I'm listening to the same words. But that trend started to catch on, and I thought, why would somebody just want to watch me sit there and talk? But our listeners are going up every day now that we started streaming the video.
Yeah, for me, it feels like it grabs my attention a little bit more than just an audio feed. Like if I'm sitting at my desk working, I just throw it up on the screen. I'm not necessarily watching your every movement.
Right.
Sort of there. I'm listening. I know I put something on. It's kind of like a video. It's kind of distracting, but I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. So I think that is the difference. The whole point of this really is not for me to be on video all day. It's to get new listeners. And I think what you just said is the difference. If you're and people scroll their feeds all day long now, whether they're on Facebook or X or wherever they are, they scroll that feed over and over and over. And I don't think many people stop if they see an audio stream. But you're right. There's something about the video that, and it, we've been studying this, you know, how do we set up the studio? What's the best way to do this? And one of the things they said was the first 5 to 10 seconds is not about content. You're not going to get them to stop because the content most of the time. But if you've got a good looking video and good quality and the audio sounds good, that's what gets people to stop. They don't even know what the content might be, but if it looks and sounds good, they'll stop. And that's all I care about. Stop and listen for 5 minutes or less, and you're probably going to make up your mind one way or another.
Are you planning on turning your video clips into, I guess, sort of small clips to just regurgitate onto people's feeds?
Yeah, probably. We need a good social media plan, but now we just kind of throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of people just have podcasts. No one's actually listening to them audio form. They just take a 2-hour podcast, cut it up into 30-second snippets, and then you have like a month of content. They just keep recycling.
Yeah. Now, if we did that, we would have so much content. It would be insane. I mean, think about it. Most podcasts really are like an hour a week, and it's usually a host and a guest and an interview style. And then you're right. They break it up into clips so they have something for every day to post. We do 2 to 3 hours a day with no breaks. So we have 10 to 15 hours of this kind of content every week. It's a lot of material.
Yeah. And if you ever like you're building your course or something, you can just clip a certain thing you talked about one time and then just use it as educational clips. You know what I mean? Rather than like, oh, go to this podcast, listen, skip ahead to 45 minutes and 12 seconds. And listen for 2 minutes. You can just like, here's that clip.
Hey, Bruce, pay attention. I just brought you in on the video.
Okay. Oh,
there you are. Hey.
I wasn't able to get it on my iPad, but.
We got you here. Leroy, can you hear Bruce?
I do not hear Bruce.
Leroy?
Yeah, that's one of the weird things. We had this issue the other day that the callers can't hear from the video stream. They can hear me, but if I bring in a guest, they can't hear the guest. It's got something to do with my audio routing over here.
I see Bruce feed.
Yeah, we can see him. We can't get the audio in. I'm not sure why. I can hear him, but we had this issue the other day. Aaron, if you could work with Bruce and see if we can get him in on the phone system at the same time. And then that way I can bring him in on the phones, and I think everybody'd be able to hear him.
I'm on the iPhone.
Bruce pantomime his thoughts.
Yeah, Bruce, do you know American Sign Language?
Just a couple.
Okay. Well, you're not going to get to say much today then. We do have Bert in the queue, but I kind of want to see if we can get the audio issue figured out before we bring Bert in, because he's not going to be able to hear you either unless we get this fixed.
Do you want me to just call in?
Somebody says they can hear him on Facebook. So,
yeah, see, that's the weird thing. Everybody watching a video stream is going to hear him. I can hear him, but nobody on the phone system only can hear him.
Oh, geez.
That's right. So I've got audio. It's amazing to me that this whole video stream thing even works. And it's actually one of the things we don't have a problem with. Yesterday, we were doing a CMC preview. Like I did a webinar on Zoom with, you could see my screen and we were sharing slides and everything was going great until it wasn't. All of a sudden, everything on my computer went weird. Nothing was responding. And I realized, even though I was plugged into two different chargers, my battery was going down instead of up. And once it gets below 10% on a Mac, nothing works right. And then the whole thing just locked up. So I see it's actually doing that again today. I'm plugged in, but I'm losing power over time.
You are using more power than your charger can supply?
So I think we've identified the problem. We're trying to run way too many peripherals from a laptop. So there's an external mixing board, there's an external camera, there's an external monitor, and it all has to run through a hub, and the hub doesn't seem to be transferring enough power through. So that's all getting replaced. We're just going to put in, Mac makes a new computer now called a Studio. It's just a little cube, but it's pretty darn powerful. So again, we're going to set this up so it doesn't have to travel with me. I'll have a second travel. Bruce, I think what we're going to do today, we'll probably drop you off the video and just have you call in, because I'm also getting a report that you're echoing somewhere. Not sure where.
Okay.
So
I'll call in right now.
Yeah. All right. That'll work. We'll get this video thing figured out, because I think people would really like it. Imagine, Leroy, we got four or five of us all sitting around on video doing this. I think that'll be good.
I always wanted to do like playing Truck Simulator while on like stream. I thought that'd be kind of fun.
See, there you go. we could do that too. You know, whoever like isn't talking at the moment could be running Truck Simulator. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be fun.
But now you're adding complication to my system. Now I have to figure out how to get that game stream in here.
Well, I mean, I don't know if your audience, you know, is the same as Gen Z. They like to have, you know, a podcast clip and a video game clip at the same time in order to hold their short attention span.
To stay stimulated, right? Yeah. So yeah. Why would you think that those people aren't watching my show?
But Gen Z,
you made an assumption.
I don't know. I just have a feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see any Gen Z in the truck show, so.
I will find out if I get on TikTok, right? Isn't that where they all hang out?
That is where the kids hang out, yeah.
Yeah. We may do that. I have a problem with the whole TikTok thing just because of the Chinese connection. It bothers me.
Really?
I think they're spying on us.
Yeah.
I think it's mind. I think they're using TikTok for mind control.
Maybe.
So I don't know. We'll see. I'm not on it yet. We'll see. We are live streaming to two Facebook pages, the company page and my page, LinkedIn and X on the video.
Wow.
We would be on YouTube, except after just 1 week on YouTube, I've already been spanked and censored, and I'm not allowed to live stream for 7 days.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a record, but I mean... It's pretty quick.
Yeah. I know. So I'm pretty sure we're not going to survive on YouTube. I can't believe how much they censor over there. You can't say anything. Nothing that I normally say, because like we were on there a week and they've already flagged three shows, given me a 7-day suspension and said, if I get two more strikes, my whole channel is going to get deleted. I think I'm going to get two more strikes before I even get a chance to go back on, because they're reviewing other shows now.
Yeah, the more YouTube you watch or follow, you start to see that people have code words for things.
Yeah.
And they don't they don't say certain words, and they censor themselves just so they don't get striked.
Yeah. We're going to try not to stream the Wednesday show because it's medical misinformation they really seem focused on, but I'm pretty sure we're just going to get kicked off. So we're working on connecting to Rumble instead, doing Rumble Live.
I never heard of that, but cool.
Rumble is the conservative version of YouTube.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, what is it? True Socialist, Trump's kind of conservative version of Facebook, or a typical social media. Rumble is the YouTube version of that.
Is there a liberal version of YouTube, or is that just YouTube?
That's just YouTube. I mean, they are, they're heavily into censoring, which is odd because it used to be the left that was for all free speech and you could say whatever you wanted, but that somehow changed. I don't know where that went. I would love to see some classic liberals back.
Classic
liberals. Yeah. You know who's a classic liberal, really, and he's in the news a lot right now, is Kennedy. Kennedy is much, much more like a classic liberal. In today's world, he almost looks like a libertarian. Which is just odd. So, all right, what do you say we're going to bring Bruce in, and we'll see what's on everybody's mind, and then we'll start getting to some phone calls. We'll bring Bert in here in a second as well when Bruce introduces him. Phone lines are open. Hit that call now button on your app or dial 855-950-3835. If you were on the CMC preview yesterday, we are going to try to finish it up today. We got over an hour done. It's recorded and saved, and I'm just going to pick up where we left off yesterday and try to finish it. I don't have time to start over today because I have to catch a plane later. So, Bruce, good morning again.
Good morning, Kevin. Does this sound better?
You sounded good before. It was just that your audio wasn't going everywhere we needed it to. But yeah, you sound good now. What's on your mind this morning?
Okay. Well, you know, after buying a condo in Florida right before Hurricane Ian, we've become a victim of insurance companies, and they are getting out of control. And I always felt they were the second biggest thief in the U.S. right behind our government, but they're really bad now. And Jim Burt from Ogden, Utah, runs a small fleet of W900s, Caterpillar-powered. They don't haul general freight. They do heavy haul. He does excavating, and he has a ranch, and he has his hands in several things. Very successful man, very knowledgeable, an expert on the west coast of Mexico, if anybody has interest in that. But he had his cell phone in his hand, and the policeman pulled him over, and I'm going to let him tell you his story, and then I'm going to add to it from about another younger client of ours that his truck burned in Denver, Colorado, and what the insurance company did to him. So I know this has nothing to do about engines and trucks for what we do, but I just thought it would be pretty interesting.
All right. You want me to bring Bert on now?
Yeah, and by the way, he attended your CMCs when you had them in Kansas City.
What?
He was the guy that walked around with the big white cowboy hat on.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Yeah.
That's Jim.
All right.
He's a good friend of Mike Lane from Ogden.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's bring Bert on. Bert, good morning. Great to have you here.
Morning.
All right. So I'll let you in.
It's a sunny day in Utah.
Send some of that. Well, the clouds are starting to break up here in the gorge, so I can see a little blue out there. Maybe it'll turn into a nice day. I'm going to let you and Bruce get started, and I'm going to play around with some of the new stuff I've got going on. I see chat messages showing up everywhere. And so, Bruce, go ahead.
So, Jim, I just wanted, you know, you told me about what happened between you and the insurance company when you got pulled over with the cell phone in your hand. I'd like you to tell that story.
So, in June of last year, I was waiting for my truck to air up, and so I was playing on my phone like we always do. And once my truck got aired up, I put it in gear, and away we went. Well, I didn't set my phone down. I just had it in my hand sitting on the shifter, and a cop pulled me over less than a mile from where I left, and I'm like, what'd you pull me over for? He said, because you had your cell phone in your hand. So I wasn't doing anything with it. I was just holding it in my hand. I mean, it didn't even think about it. And I, you know, in my mind, I'd be a liar if I said I'd never looked at it. So I thought, well, okay. And then when I got the ticket, they wouldn't let me just pay a fine. They made me go before a judge. Still didn't think nothing about it. Went before the judge. That was a whole other fiasco. Either way, if you get a cell phone ticket, go like you're trying to defend the death penalty to court, because it is way more of a deal than I ever thought it was.
Wow.
So I paid my fine, did my stuff. The judge actually sentenced me to 10 days in jail.
What?
Fine of $100, which was nothing. Yeah. And then he suspended my 10 days in jail to 10 hours community service, told me I was on suspension, or not suspension, probation for 1 year. If I had to come back for any reason, he would 10 times my ticket. I did my community service, which I haven't been spanked like that since I was in high school.
Yeah.
But either way, I thought it was all done. No big deal. We started renewing my insurance policy for the company this year, and my agent told me that I might not be able to get insurance for the company. I'm like, for what? And he says, well, That cell phone ticket is actually worse than a DUI on a commercial vehicle on your when they're looking at your stuff. Our company rating is green across the board. Our inspections, everything. We have no issues from FMCSA.
That's
so
crazy.
It's a big deal to get a cell phone ticket.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. That's when you start comparing it to a DUI or saying it's worse than a DUI, something's gone really wrong.
So we ended up sending a packet to 28 different insurance companies, separate insurance companies, to try to get a policy. We got back, and after, I would say 15 or 16 of them, we quit putting me on as a driver at all.
Just
took me right out of the equation. And we ended up getting three total quotes, and the carrier that I had, or not the carrier, the insurance company I had a year ago, they already said they would rewrite me, but if I wanted to be a driver, it was going to cost an additional $45,000 a year to let me be a driver for my own company.
And wow.
So I'm grounded for three years. I can't drive a commercial vehicle.
You know, I don't even know where to start on this. I don't know how we get so lopsided on things. I've seen drivers with DUIs on their records, with positive drug tests on their records. They still manage to make it back out onto the road somehow. I get the cell phone thing. I think they're horribly dangerous in vehicles. I really do. But I don't know what the answer is. This isn't it, though. Not when you're going to treat something like this worse than alcohol in a commercial vehicle. This isn't the answer. And I'm not big on regulations, but at some point, I see an awful lot of people who are unsafe with a cell phone. I know for myself, I do everything I can to avoid talking while I'm driving. Even out on the interstate with no traffic around me, completely hands-free, I just know what I'm like when I start talking. I picture everything I'm talking about. And it's not that I'm unsafe. It's kind of like I'm driving on autopilot and I'm completely safe, but I will just miss an exit and I won't notice for 10 miles if I'm talking. That's how bad it is. So I really try to avoid using the phone, but they're in the vehicles. We've got to do something other than this.
So a couple of things I've learned since then, if you have it in a bracket on the dash, whether it's being held on by a magnet or holding the sides of the phone, it's not illegal to you still shouldn't scroll Facebook, by the way.
Right.
But it's the same as playing with the radio on your dash. That's not illegal to change the radio station, answer calls, use the screen of your phone. You can't scroll things.
Right.
Anything that distracts you long enough that the cop determines you were a distracted driver. That's what my ticket was, distracted driving. And
I get it. I do think distracted driving is a problem, but we have to come up with better solutions.
So as a driver, a lot of companies are going to come in now where if you get caught with a distracted driving ticket, you're no longer insurable.
Wow.
I had to change it for my employees that they wouldn't be employed after that.
Right.
And if I didn't work for myself, I would have had to been fired.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea they had laws that strict.
Companies could make it to where a driver can no longer be employed. And we all drive around and see everybody with their cell phone in their hands. That doesn't make it right. It just makes it, that's what the reality is. People do it and they're cracking down on it.
That's kind of what I mean, that we've got to get control of this, because obviously this is going to be much, much worse for commercial vehicle drivers. And I get that. We should be held to a higher standard. But I also think we've got to come up with, if you're going to treat commercial drivers differently, and I'm okay with that, it has to be federal and not state by state. There, I have a real problem when
just so you know.
Go ahead,
Kevin. Just so you know, if you get the ticket, and he wrote the ticket as if I was in my pickup, not in a semi. It doesn't matter whether you're in your personal vehicle this or you're in a semi. They're looking at it no different. It's not just a commercial driver thing. It's you were a distracted driver.
So what would happen to me then, or you, let's say you weren't a commercial driver, you were just in your personal vehicle and you got this, what would the consequences be? Are you uninsurable in your personal vehicle?
They didn't, my personal insurance didn't get affected by it as of yet. I renewed my personal policy in September last year.
See, I didn't even know
it was a thing on it.
I have to believe that they are not yanking people's license and insurance over this on the personal side. So that's my point, that
I didn't,
that if they are going to treat commercial drivers differently and take away your entire livelihood so you can't make a living doing this anymore, that's what's got to, we've got to get that standardized, and it has to be federal, not state by state.
And I don't know on the insurance side, Great Western Casualties, who our insurance is through, and they still ended up being my best bet for insurance.
Right.
And I had, my insurance went up 52% this year either way. And normally I'm a 7% guy annually. And we've had a trucking company for just shy of 30 years.
Right.
And it was way bigger deal than I ever dreamed possible.
Boy, it sure sounds like it. All right, we may have to do a little digging into this one. Bruce, anything else we want to cover?
Yeah, we have a young man bought his first truck. He's in Colorado. He wasn't in the truck.
Hey, Bruce, are we done with Bert?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Bert, thanks for making us aware of this. I had no idea it was... that kind of stuff was going on. So we're going to take a look at this.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right. Good to talk to you again. All right. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay. So a young man buys his first truck. He's in Colorado. He wasn't even in the truck. Truck burned to the ground. And this is something that does happen. And they took his insurance from $26,000 a year to $76,000. They put him out of business. And now he went to become a company driver. And that's one of the things we're facing.
Yeah.
Down here in Florida, if you want to have a boat and you're in anywhere near where any of the hurricanes hit, the insurance is about four times what it is to be in Maryland or Pennsylvania. In Colorado, remember the Marshall Fire when all those homes burnt 2 years ago north of Denver?
Yes.
And they stack these houses so close together that if your neighbor's house catches on fire, you're going to.
Yeah.
And then it's a domino effect. Well, where I am up in Colorado, we're in an old riverbed. There's not even a tree. Everyone's on at least 1 acre. But they raised my insurance 40% because of Marshall Fire.
Wow.
They sent me an 8-page letter explaining it. And it's just crazy what's going on with these insurance companies. I mean, they want to build these beautiful Taj Mahal buildings and have fountains in front. I think all the presidents want to be billionaires. So it's bad.
So Sarah just sent this over for me, going back to that ticket. If the ticket is in a commercial vehicle, I guess there is a federal standard through the FMCSA. The ticket can be up to $2,750 for drivers and $11,000 for employers. Something seems really lopsided here. And I do believe we need to get some sort of control around all the distractions in a vehicle. But I don't think this is the answer.
This is not the answer. And how are they going to go after the young people?
Yeah.
I remember when my daughter was 16 years old, as soon as she got in the car, up came her phone. I said, Ashley, you don't need to do that. Why don't you make that call from in the house?
Yeah, well, I get it. I know. I know. And I do see commercial drivers going down the road filming videos with their camera in their hand. And I'm not for any of that. That is way too much of a distraction. But this seems so random, you know, even to compare it to a DUI or alcohol. You know, we have clear tests that the officer has to prove you had some sort of impairment. And I know in a commercial vehicle, alcohol, zero tolerance. I get all that. But this is simply a law enforcement officer saying, I saw you look away from the road for too long. That's really so random. And the penalties are way too stiff for something that has almost no burden of proof on the officer. All he has to do is say, no, I saw you looking at your screen for too long.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I hate to even say this, but maybe we do need some regulations with technology that when the vehicle is in motion, there are limited features available on the phone. But then they say, well, what if I'm a passenger and I have to? So that isn't an easy solution either. All right. Bruce, did you have anything else? So
Eric was not in yesterday. He's not feeling good, but he is in today, so he's not going to do the radio show with us. So it'll just be Ethan and I and you.
Got it. All right. I think we can handle it, though.
Yeah, we can do it.
I think we can do it. Speaking of Leroy, what's on your mind this morning?
Not a whole lot. We're getting stuff banged out in the shop one by one, kind of finally getting caught up. The one thing I was interested to hear your opinion about was, I know you mentioned about the new EPA regulations. Have you had a chance to look through any of that? Or
I did enough to know what's going on.
Did you happen to look through the question and response or comment and response piece?
No.
I think that's the most interesting of it.
No, here's what I think's going on. It's why I doubt that I'm going to dig really deep into the details about what they're trying to accomplish on the engine. I'm not sure you can accomplish it. But this is a huge push towards electric. That's all this is about.
Yeah, that was a lot of what was sort of addressed.
Yeah,
if you don't have it, I'll have to send you that PDF. I mean, because the rules are just kind of like just laid out there and just sort of lawyerese.
Right.
But the comment and response PDF that they put out is a bunch of comments from OEMs, from fleet owners.
Oh, yeah, send that to me. I don't think I saw that.
And you get people, like the first part, there was like 90-some pages of people saying, the EPA can't do this. It's unconstitutional. What are you going to do about electric vehicles? This. 90 some pages of comments, people complaining.
Yeah.
And then there was like 10 pages of the EPA's response of like, go pound sand, we'll do what we want.
Well, so we could go down two paths here. One, I don't think our alphabet agencies should have this much power over entire industries. They're not elected. We don't get to vote for them. I think something this big should go through Congress, but this is how the government controls things now. They just make it regulations through the alphabet agencies. So that's one issue. The other one, though, is this is not a standard to make internal combustion engines cleaner. It is a standard to force the industry to electric.
Yeah, that's some of the stuff that was talked about. They did a whole section about the issue with power distribution and, like, where are we getting this power from?
Right. How
it's not feasible. And funny enough, it kind of reminded me of, like, when you have callers on the show and they don't give you enough info. people would make these comments like, oh, it's going to cost $60 billion to put in this plant, and it's going to take 4 years. And EPA kind of acknowledged that's probably true, but without any evidence of your own study, then we don't believe you.
Correct.
And it's kind of sad, and it's interesting to see. I mean, even some of the manufacturers, I think DTNA, I mean, Daimler, they were kind of saying, we don't want phase three. Like, why do you keep doing this to us?
Correct.
Which is kind of the summation of it. So it gets a little bit of a sneak peek into their mindset of individual companies, like whoever you're sort of rooting for. You kind of see what their spin on the whole EPA regulations are. Yeah, I'll have to send it to you.
I'd like to see that PDF. But it's pretty clear to me after looking at this one that this is not the planned next way to get ICE engines cleaner. This is a way to force us into electric, and it is a horrible idea for all the reasons we've talked about. The biggest one is, where are we going to get all the power? And honestly, I wish somebody who understood a lot of this better than I do would look at what is realistic for how we're going to generate a lot more power. It's got to come from somewhere. And isn't the statistic we're still producing like 80% of our electricity with coal? So,
I mean, the EPA's response was, well, that's kind of a localized problem. It depends on where you look.
Well, wait a minute. The last time I checked, we have to drive our trucks everywhere. We don't get to pick and choose.
Well,
yeah, that's so. Yeah. It We're seeing this all over the world, though, the push against farming, the push to green. The only thing I can come up with, honestly, is just follow the money. I mean, there is a huge opportunity to create probably the world's first trillionaire based on a shift from petroleum to electric. I don't think it's a good shift at all. I think we're pushing it way too hard. We're using taxpayers' money, our money, to subsidize it all. And the only thing I can see is there's going to be a huge transfer of wealth. I mean, instead of big oil companies, we're going to have big electric companies somehow. There's going to be a lot of people making money, and the rest of us are going to pay for it.
Yeah, they throw around huge numbers, billions of dollars throughout this document, just like it's numbers on a page. Like, oh, it's going to cost an additional $2.3 billion
right.
for this. Another $32 billion. Where does that come from?
Well, have you ever seen any of the examples of a difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion? I mean, it is insane. They do it by minutes. So then you see how long it would take in time to get to a trillion. It's almost too much for the human brain to comprehend how big a trillion really is. But the claim is that it would cost the trucking industry $1 trillion to make this shift.
Yeah. And that's going to get passed on.
It has to. There's no way around it. And when you see the inflation we already have, and now we're pushing towards this, it just seems like a disaster to me. So we're going to get to some phone calls. We're also going to open up. Phone lines are open. I know we've been talking a lot. We typically don't get calls. Now is your chance. Hit that call now button on your app. We're going to start taking calls. It would not hurt my feelings to wrap up early today. I do have a plane to catch, and I still have half a webinar to do. So if you've got calls, get them in. If we run out, I'm not going to ask. We're just going to wrap this up today. So let's go to Kansas to get started. Ray, welcome.
Hey, you guys. How are you doing this morning? You kind of covered the first part. I have a two-part response there. The first part was on the phones, and Kevin mentioned it. To me, if you're a commercial driver, you should I hate regulations, but just have an app that only allows phone calls. You know, the keypad doesn't work. That way, if you're moving your phone around, something like that happens, you just say, look, I have the app on this phone. It doesn't work. When the truck starts to move, you can't do anything but listen to music or enter a phone call through a headset. I think that would eliminate a lot of
I'm leaning that way, and I hate those kind of regulations, but I am leaning that way. And then what do you do for team drivers?
Well, that's part of the app. That you would just be,
you'd have to certify you were in the sleeper, not driving.
It has to match your log.
Yeah.
Doesn't match your log, then they can go down.
That may be the way we need to go on this. I would rather see a good, solid federal policy rather than leave it totally up to the discretion of an officer. I saw you looking away for too long. That's just too random
right.
to
and
me.
And one of the biggest reasons that I'm leaning that way, which I'm like you, I do not like regulations whatsoever, but I've also ridden motorcycles my whole life. My biggest bike is my 2016 Road King. It's basically a 900-pound bike, and I'm to the point of selling it because this last 5 years, and being a truck driver, I don't get to ride it as much as most people ride the motorcycle. But I've had, in the past 2 years, I've had four very close calls just due to the fact that the people are on their damn phone.
Yeah, I have said the same thing. I wouldn't ride a motorcycle today, and I rode motorcycles most of my life. I would not today. And I don't even like walking anywhere near a road anymore.
Right. Exactly. And that is a problem. And my second point was insurance came up. And to me, it's criminal. I think I'm right. I believe it's insurance companies and pharma, big pharma, Washington is, I think they're the heaviest lobbyists. The problem I have with insurance companies is how can you operate a business and then where your revenue stream is, disasters, earthquake, fires, your premiums, you're paying for that. But when it happens, first thing insurance companies do, like the last earthquake in California, is, oh, well, this is too much. This is too much. So the taxpayers end up having the burden of that and hurricanes and this and that. Well, no. If you're in business to insure whatever happens and you can't do that, then you should be out of business. No one should bail you out.
Right.
That's bullshit. I'm sorry I said that.
No, that's fine. You're allowed to say that here.
But that is, to me, the most crooked, like the bridge that just, the barge that hit the ship that hit the bridge.
Yeah.
And the government's saying that, you know, well, it's the taxpayers that are going to do that. Well, I read that there is so much insurance on that bridge. It's spread out over so many that it is no problem. Not one cent of taxpayers' money should have to pay for that.
Yeah.
Wait a second. The steamship company should have to, their insurance company should have to pay for the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I mean, if you're going to put container ships out.
Right. With that insurance and all the other insurance, it is more than covered. But yet you have an administration saying we're going to take care of it. No, you're not going to take care of it. The regular damn working people are going to have to take care of it. And that's crap.
That's right. Isn't it the same way when a politician wants to go to war? He doesn't go to war. His children don't go to war, but the rest of the population does. So, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And
all right.
So those are the two issues.
Got
it. Talking about.
All right. Appreciate it. Let's go to Pennsylvania this time. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hey guys, got a question for the Pittsburgh Power guys, Daryl and 14. I've just had my engine rebuilt. It was a 2026 CPL originally, and we rebuilt it to the 2025 CPL, but we still have the original injector. It comes out to a 2492 CPL. Which is the only difference between that and the 2025 is instead of the 3411 763 injectors, it has the smaller 3411 760 injectors, but they're both 5 1/4. So I don't know what, if you guys are familiar with that CPL or what you.
I'm very familiar with the 2025 CPL. That was the absolute best N14 there was. Why didn't you change the injectors?
Well, actually, I had replaced them probably, I don't know, 3 months before I blew a head gasket. So that's why we were wanting to stick with them if you know, the 2490.
Okay, I understand.
CPL,
Do you have the same amount of turbo boost, and is it pulled the same?
Yeah, I had a tune on it. It's somewhere around 460, 475, and the tune that's on it, it still works with this build. And I'm pushing right around 30 pounds of boost, 30 to 31.
Okay, 30 pound is 500 on an N14, 32 is 5 1/4. So
okay.
You're okay.
Okay, well, yeah, we haven't tuned it to the 2492 yet. It's still the original tune I had on that, you know, the shop that tuned it, they figured that was the max for the 2026 CPL, and it's been working, but I didn't know if we tuned it to the 2492 or, if, you know, if I'd be better off changing injectors and going to the 2025.
Always stay with 2025 CPL parts.
Okay. Okay.
And then that can be tuned up to about 650 horsepower.
Right.
Is your timing at 352?
Yes, it's still, it's 2026. We haven't touched the timing at all. That's still original.
I don't know the 2026. I don't have a CPL book with me, but was that 362 on the time or 352 on the timing?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. While we're on this subject, anybody that has a 2592 and those higher CPL numbers, they're timed at 362. And this is the one and the only time I'll tell you need to advance it to 352.
Yeah, we actually did that based off your recommendation on a previous truck I had. We had forget what the original CPL was there, but we had it rebuilt to the 2592, and we did that on the followers there. We adjusted that and got that all timed up, and that ran really well.
You took it from 362 to 352?
Yep.
Yeah, it makes a little bit of a difference. I mean, it's a little in power, response, and fuel mileage.
Yeah.
The 360, well. The 362 was a government mandate, by the way. The Cummins engineers did not want to go to 362.
Okay. Yeah, and on the N14, I know we don't like to talk about the sweet spot, but what, as far as RPM range, what's about the basement on them that you guys see? I seem to, in my experience, it seems like it don't mind never like to go below 1400, but I didn't know what you guys are seeing or recommend.
You're exactly correct.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like under that it wasn't too happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
All you got to do is listen to it. It'll talk to you.
Yeah, if you let me know.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I had.
All right.
Hey, you know, speaking of that, I had a Saab, a 96 Saab Arrow, and it said you can drive it at 1,800 RPM. Well, I tell you, at 1,800 RPM, there was nothing. This is a little 2-liter turbo engine. It wanted to be 2,000 and up, and you just got to listen to an engine and let the engine talk to you and feel it. And look at your boost gauge, look at your exhaust gas temperature gauge, and ease into the throttle and see how it accelerates. It'll let you know where it wants to be.
There you go. All right, so...
Well, hey, there was one other thing.
Go ahead.
Jim Burt said to me the other night, he said, we were talking about preventative maintenance, and he's real big on preventative maintenance. He said, if you don't give your truck maintenance when you want to, it'll tell you when it wants it. And it won't be at a time when you want to do it.
It's never
It'll
convenient.
Be out in the road.
That's so, for sure.
It's never convenient. That's right. So I like the way he had said it. I wanted to ask him about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is for sure. All right. Calls have been really light today. Not sure why. That's unusual, especially on a Tuesday. So we're going to go to a phone call right now and see if we get any more. We've only got one on the line right now. 855-950-3835, or hit that call now button on your app. We'll stay here another half hour or so if we've got calls. If not, I'm going to wrap this up today and we'll get on with the day. Let's go to Minnesota. Matt, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
What's on your mind
so
today?
I think I can be the first one here to ask Leroy this question. I am driving a 2025 International with the S13 engine, and I have an engine code. Wondering if you want to look it up, or if you just want me to explain it.
Are you really driving?
100 miles, and I've already got a check engine and been to the dealer.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh.
Well, it was driver error was the problem.
Oh, well, that's good. So what I know this isn't much time, but what are your thoughts so far?
Well, for me, it's a big getting used to, you know, the newer technology.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Basically sure. Has all the technology. It's a demo truck, you know, so they want to display all their stuff. This has the satellite cruise control. So it knows the hills beforehand.
Got it. Okay.
And, you know, here in Minnesota, we don't have even the roll. I'm in southern
right.
Minnesota.
Right.
The rolling hills are not even hills.
Right.
Just cruising down the road with the cruise control, and all of a sudden, this thing idles at 500, lower RPM than, you know, all of our older stuff. Just goes into neutral, and you're rolling. The engine drops to 500 RPM. Just, you know, that's still a shocker. I'm getting
used to that. Yeah, that would be.
When it goes into coast mode.
Right.
You
know? All right. Well,
like you lose all power, and it's like, uh-oh, what just happened?
So give us the specs on this.
So the S13 is the new international engine. T14 is the international transmission.
Ooh.
215 rear end ratio.
215. Wow. Okay.
And I don't remember the specs on the transmission, but it's a single overdrive.
Okay, so you could get this thing down to some seriously low RPMs.
Yep. Yeah. So 14th is the overdrive. I believe it's right in there with the other new ones, 0.8 one, or are they 0.78 or somewhere
around there, right? Yeah, interesting. Yeah. This could turn out to be a really nice. This is a very downsped setup.
Correct. This makes peak torque at 900 RPM.
Wow. Yeah, this should be interesting.
Does it pull okay at 900?
Yes, actually, I've had it down into the 850 range, and it doesn't even want to downshift yet.
That's wild. Wow.
Now, yes, it feels like it's lugging, but, you know, that's what they say.
You got to get used to that, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
And the other big thing they've seen so far, talking to the salesman, you know, is don't worry about the oil pressure. This has an electronically controlled variable oil pressure.
Interesting.
So it'll drop all the way down to 18 PSI running down the road, and that's not an issue.
Okay. Yeah, there's some things you'd have to really get used to.
Yeah. So, yeah, fuel mileage-wise, I can't even say yet.
Yeah,
I just don't have enough miles.
So how long do you get to drive this thing?
I reset the instant. Just 1 week.
One round.
So,
okay.
Yeah, the friend of mine that came up with this deal, his company driver took the truck last week with my trailer, did my round. Now, he is a true company driver, no ambitions to be owner-operator, just drives the truck with no concern.
Right.
He got 8.3.
Okay.
Which for him was damn good.
That's respectable.
Older company truck. He was in the mid fives.
That's what I would think. Yeah, that's, and you know, we talk a lot about the hyper milers, the guy like you, Matt, you've done it, pushed every, you know, couple of tenths we can squeeze out. Sometimes we do things that are really expensive just to prove that they work. That's all well and good. But what the industry needs is what you just talked about. Taking a guy that on most old trucks, he's in the 5 and 6 range, and all he has to do is drive this one, and he's already above 8. I mean, that's what we need as an industry.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's hopefully the big comparison here is we got it for 2 weeks, so send a company driver on one round, and now let's see what I can do. And
yeah, that's interesting. I would be wonderful to see International back in the engine game again. So,
and I think corporate wise, they're probably pushing it. So these Internationals fully spec'd, they're topping out in the 180, 185 range.
That's awesome today.
They're considerably cheaper than any other brand.
You know, and International always was kind of, you know, I looked at International as they kind of had Freightliner prices with better quality. I mean, I always liked the quality of their cabs and interiors, even way back then. What's this one like as far as, what model truck is this even?
So they only have two models anymore that I know of, or at least with this S13 engine. Your LT, which is line haul trucking, and your, I think it's an HT, which is for heavy. Basically, your day cabs for construction work are going to be HTs, and anything line haul is going to be an LT, which is the ProStar just enhanced.
Okay, so how do you like the quality, fit, finish, sound levels, that kind of stuff?
So far, I'm impressed.
Good.
It was brand new last week. This truck has 5,000 miles on it.
Right.
So it's... obviously, there shouldn't be any rattles and wind
noise
and stuff
not.
Like that. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
But.
Well, we figured out why the calls were so light. The call now button or the call in button had disappeared for people. So if you restart your app, if you've been wondering why I keep telling you to hit the call in button and it's not there, restart your app. I think we got that figured out. And we've got some calls coming in now. So that must have been the issue.
Yep. So the surprising thing setting this truck up, I slid the fifth wheel as far forward as it would go. And I can't remember Joel's number. Does he say 18 inches or
it's
is it
pretty,
goal? But I think his
personal
tight. Truck is like 13 or 14.
Right.
Yeah. So I got it to 19.
Oh,
with my reefer.
Yeah. With that's
and
that's close.
I'm still. So let's see. I just weighed here. 12.2 on the steer, 13.2, grossing out at 76.
Okay.
So I'm set nice and smooth, but I full of fuel, I can't get any more weight on the steer. So in my opinion, it should be slid a little further ahead, but
yeah, right.
I don't have that option.
All right. Well, good stuff. I'm going to look forward to getting the full report.
Yeah, are you doing a show at the end of the week, or are you done for the week now?
I think this is going to be it for the week. I'm going to take, I think if I've got room, I'm trying to pack really light on this trip, but I think I might take a broadcast headset with me, and I could just jump on the laptop with no mixer and probably pull off a show if I have time. But Thursday, I speak tomorrow. I've just got traveling and set up, and I think I have an interview somewhere tomorrow, so I'm going to skip tomorrow. Thursday, I have to speak, and I have an interview. And Friday, I'll probably spend all day at Dr. Wolfson's clinic. So I'm going to take the equipment, but I doubt that I'll be doing any shows.
All right. Well, when I get numbers together, I'll just call in next week and kind of go over a review.
All right. Sounds good. I'll look forward to it. All right. And enjoy. That sounds like fun driving that thing. Let's get to some calls now that they're coming in. Let's go to South Dakota. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How is everybody?
Good. What can we help you with today?
Good. Hey, where are you going, Kevin?
I am going to Phoenix. I think Phoenix for the TIA conference. I'm speaking there. And then Scottsdale's right there, and that's where Dr. Wolfson's clinic is. So I'll be spending Friday there. I'm getting the works. I'm getting, I'm going to probably run every test they do down there just to see what's going on. And they, if you're in the clinic, you can do some of their IVs, like the high-dose vitamin C and the immune boost, and I'm going to do a bunch of that stuff, too.
Wow, that sounds, take your wallet with you.
Oh, yeah, I'm applying for the loan now.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, it's going to be expensive.
What's the TIA stand for?
Transportation Intermediaries Association. Isn't that a mouthful? It means the brokers.
Yeah.
That's the group the brokers
belong
to.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, I wanted to go to one of those. Yeah, that would be great. Hey,
yeah.
So I drive this 24, I don't know, Freightliner Cascadia DD15. It's the company that I work for just leases them from Penske, and they're not going to change, but they're going to go broke before they change. If I get it's speed limited at 70. If I get it above 75, like if I'm in Utah with some weight rolling down the hill there, you know, hit 76, 77, it says powertrain over speed. Asked the guy at Penske, and he said, they don't know shit though, you know. They should be able to, they can roll. They can roll at 80, 85 mile an hour because, you know, it's 80 mile an hour over there.
Right.
And wondered what the power strain over speed was and how bad that is to hit that.
Leroy, any thoughts?
I would assume it's just a road speed limit. I mean, the only, if I'm thinking about powertrain limit in general, I'm thinking of, is it an engine speed limit? Is it a torque speed limit? Or is it just the overall powertrain, like vehicle speed limit? To me, it's the first thing is it's probably a vehicle speed, but I don't know.
It just says powertrain over speed reached. Please decelerate. I don't know. That's why I don't know if that means that it's spinning too fast. You know, if something's spinning too fast, I can't imagine that's the case. I think it's probably because it's speed limited at 70. They give you 5 extra before they tell you to, you know.
So I wonder, I haven't checked this recently, but from what I gather, there's not a whole lot of commercial tires that are rated for 80 miles an hour.
Mike, well, it doesn't say anything about the tires, but that's probably, you know, that's probably the case too. You know, you only do it for 3 or 4 miles while you're trying to, you know, get down one of those hills on I-70 going, east or something like that.
When I'm out west in Utah and I'm running hard with the coach, like I have these last couple trips, 70 and 75, I still get passed.
Oh, yeah. Probably by trucks, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, somebody's out there running that hard in trucks.
Yeah.
What's your RPM at 75? 75.
12.50.
Wow.
13.
Wow.
13.
You're not hurting. You're not overspeeding the drivetrain. They just put that up there to get you to slow down.
Yeah, I think that's just to get you to slow down. The lady's voice comes on the computer there, and she's worse than Kevin's countdown lady. that's all I had. Okay, I was just wondering. I didn't want to hurt this thing. It's a Freightliner, 181,000 now, and it's just starting to get the wind noise and whatnot. But it's been pretty solid compared to the older model Freightliners. They're making them a little bit better now, I think.
Good to hear.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you. That's all
right.
I had.
You are welcome. And the other calls that come in have dropped. So we are we're out of calls. We're right at the top of the hour. Bruce, I know you needed to get going today. I need to get going. So I think we're just going to wrap this up. Anything anybody wants to close with?
Not for me.
No, I don't have anything to add.
So all right.
Good luck at Wolfson. And let us know what this all entails.
Yeah.
And what it would cost.
We
have a doctor that does that vitamin C infusion. He's east of Pittsburgh out in Jeanette, and I've had it done. And he also does a talk show on radio.
Oh, yeah.
He's an interesting guy. And he's 2 years younger than me, and I asked him last time I saw him, which was about 3 years ago, why haven't you retired? He said, I'm doing my life's work, and I have friends that have retired and went to Florida, and they're sorry that they sold their business. He said, they are tired of being on a beach and a golf course, and I see that a lot down here.
Yeah, yeah, that's seems to be a pattern. I'm going to try to avoid that, too. I can't imagine just being completely retired. I'm already starting to picture slowing down, but I say that all the time, and then I get busier and busier. But I can't imagine just waking up and not knowing what I was going to do that day.
I'm finding a lot of self-employed people that are people's people. They like the interaction with people. They're working fuel docks and talking to boaters.
Yeah.
You're standing right there and they get the conversation.
Something to do. Yeah.
One particular guy was a custom home builder and he said, boy, did I make a mistake retiring early.
Yeah, so. I'll bet. All right. We're going to wrap this up. We will, you may or may not see me do a show later this week. I may or may not do a space on X. It'll just depend on my schedule. So if not, I will see you back here live on Monday. We'll be back here next Tuesday with the Power Hour again. In the meantime, if you have any questions, give them a call there at Pittsburgh Power. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey.